It's episode.
Buy that song on iTunes.
It's episode, not the Kinks. It's episode 190 of the Hodgepodge Podcast. I'm your host Doug,
and this is a warm open.
That's Dirty A. As usual, we'll be talking about a hodgepodge topics from.
We movies, won't be today. Music, we'll be TVs, talking about a very special, specific topic.
That's right.
Called James Douglas Simpson writes a book.
Again.
for adult people this time.
Yes.
The one where Doug writes a book.
Yeah. The one where the gang writes a book.
Yeah.
You can reach us at thehodgepodgepodcast@gmail.com over on our website, thehodgepodgepodcast.com, or head on over to YouTube and iTunes and subscribe, or go to Facebook, search for the Hodgepodge Podcast,
like our page. Or why don't you give them your blog information,
or go to jdouglassimpson.com where you can get all the information on all my cool things I'm working on
and computer herpes.
Thanks.
Viruses abound.
Well, that would probably go for your site too, because we use the same dealer to use,
but I'm
sites.
Straight open about it. You will get a virus if you come to my site.
My book Maxim Cookies. Ultra. My book, Maxim Ultra, was released last Tuesday after some difficulty with Amazon. I self-published it through Kindle Direct Publishing. The first book I did with Great Big World, I did that through CreateSpace, which was owned by Amazon, but it was its own separate thing. And funnily enough, I didn't have any problems with that one. But then when it became a gigantic corporation, now I'm having problems. But no, once I got it straightened out on release date,
it took less than a day or a day.
Well, no, it took a few days because I contacted them like Friday night. Because what happens is, like, Kindle Direct Publishing, for some reason, and this is stupid, we talked about this, you can pre-order the Kindle version, but you can't pre-order the paperback version, which makes no sense whatsoever.
Because what you want to pre-order is the paperback,
so they can print it.
You immediately get
the Kindle version.
The Kindle version. Yeah. You don't need to pre-order a fucking ebook. No one needs to pre-order an ebook. They're not going to run out of an ebook.
No.
The only reason why it's good to pre-order an ebook is because you can pre-order it and then it'll just download to your thing. You go, oh yeah.
But it's not necessary.
It's not.
You know,
like on iTunes, you can pre-order albums too, but they'll give you tracks in advance of that. So, you know, it's kind of worth it. So it's kind of weird. I'm sure they'll change that in the future.
Is there a policy as to why?
No, they just don't do it. Because it is Kindle Direct Publishing. So they're trying to push
the e-books.
I wonder if it's because, if you pre-order the e-book, you can change it up until an hour before it.
Oh, no. They told me it had to be in 72 hours before or something like that, before it launched.
Yeah, but for, 72 hours, submitting a change 72 hours before a physical book launch is not enough time to get pre-orders out.
Right.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah, you're right. And I did have to make a few minor changes before I sent it out.
You think they would just increase that window, though, so you could have pre-orders for a physical book?
Yeah.
Just say, no changes a month out or whatever.
A week. I mean, I think a week could do it.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Fill in the number, but just give the option.
Yeah, because it's dumb.
Yeah, it's real dumb.
You said you're probably not going to do pre-order next time, right? Or
no, I'll do pre-order, but it's just, you know.
Yeah. But the paperback.
But most people,
it's his base that has said they don't want to do pre-order with him. It's not him.
Oh, 100%.
It's his fan base.
Yeah.
Yeah. But most people who want to pre-order things pre-order physical objects.
Right.
A Kindle version. So offering a pre-order is worthless.
You pre-order the Kindle, not the books.
Right.
Anyway. All fixed.
It's all there
it's
now.
It's all fixed. It's all there now. It is. My book is no longer attached to the ladies' activewear product that, apparently, according to the two reviews I have so far, somebody actually bought that and then bought the book through it.
I mean, I heard your book fit really well. And like, it was shipped according to the measurements.
I mean, to be fair, when I bought the book, and I did,
you tried it out.
It came wrapped in ladies' underwear.
Yeah.
So. My buddy Josh in New Jersey, he sent me a picture. He goes, "Oh, I got your book," and he held up like his wife's like sweatshirt or something. Hey, I got your book. I'm like, good. I hope it fits. Yeah, as I mentioned on the last episode, my friend Jill, who is a longtime listener of the show,
first time caller,
and probably my biggest fan. She loved it. She's read it in 3 days, finished it like that. So that's always nice to hear.
Thanks, Jill. Making everyone else look bad.
Yeah.
So that's the number to beat. 3 days.
I read it 4 years ago. What do you think of that, Jill?
There are changes. I rewrote the whole third act, basically.
Yeah.
Mostly. It's.
Did you pet cemetery it?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
No, I didn't. Yeah. No. Yes, they all come to life, and then they all bury each other. And that's...
No, he kept the 3-year-old being running.
Right. As you should.
As you should.
I guess I'll run down the basic plot without giving anything away.
Well, first, let's start with the basic title.
Yeah, I said Maxim Ultra. it's called Maxim Ultra, which is the title character's name. It's the first in the series. But this isn't like Matt's series, which was like a self-contained story, basically, in the three novels. This is more of like a ongoing series.
Each thing's its own adventure.
Like a serial, yeah. Like a James... the books will connect, but
it's the character that connects them versus the story that connects them.
Right, but there will be certain arcs throughout it. Like the next... Yeah, I'm not going to say anything, but I don't want to say anything about the next one yet. So, the book centers on Maxim Ultra, clearly. And he is a... he's like an interstellar adventurer, and he's from Earth, and he's one of the rare Earthlings that goes out into deep space and stuff like that. And it's set in the present day. I think some of the gang in the group thought it was in the future, and I'm like, no, it's present day.
Mm-hmm.
Alternate
universe present day.
No, it's present day. Because he's out in space. In the second book, he will come back to Earth. So then people will see it's present day.
If he lives through the first book.
If he lives through the first book.
Yeah. Oops.
Yeah. Come on. So, it's not like in Great Big World where I killed all those kids at the end of
it. Again.
Right.
As you should.
You brought them back.
Yeah.
They zombified them. Okay. And then... David buried them in the ground and then brought them back to life. And so he is, he's like an adventurer and stuff like that. And his father did this as well. So he kind of went into the family business.
Nepotism.
When he discovered what his father really did for a living when he was like 12 or 13. And he has a crew, you know, of regulars that he works with. And they're kind of like a little family. And then what happens is... prior to the book,
kind of like the Guardians of the Galaxy or the Ravagers.
Matt will tell you that when that movie came out, I was like, I was like, this is gonna fuck up my whole thing. But it's not. It's completely different. So I'm like, what I do call it for some people, I go, hey, do you like Guardians of the Galaxy? Like, yeah. I'm like, this is the R-rated Guardians of the Galaxy, and they're like, oh, I'll read it. Which I think is pretty accurate.
Guardians of the Schmalaxy.
I would say Maxim Ultra is not as weird as Guardians of the Galaxy.
I didn't mean the story. I just
no. I know. Yeah. I mean, but there's a lot of. There's Firefly, which is like that. And, you know, so it's you know.
Yeah.
But what happens in the beginning of the book is that Max prior to the book, he basically pushed his crew away because he got involved with some dicey people who he wanted to. They were promising him like a big score, basically, and that fell apart. And one of the guys murdered people, Kalen Van Deer, because that's what he does. And basically, Max is
that's what he does. Why do people hang around him?
And so he's so he is wanted. He's wanted for murder at the beginning of the book, and then
Maxim is, or
yeah, because he was involved in the crew, so he's
the whole crew is
right,
involved.
Basically. Okay. So what Max did is he went back to what he did, what he does best, and he's trying to help hunt down the rest of the crew. And as the book opens, he's after the last person in the crew, Sierra. And I mean, I guess I should. The first chapter is, there's not much to really ruin, I guess, but basically he goes to jail. Maxim goes to prison, and it's about 3 years later when he's visited by we'll call them the space FBI. It's called the GAC, but it's, you know, they're basically like, it's like I called it, it's the FBI, CIA, and UN all rolled into one entity. And
like Space Shield,
right? Yeah sort of. And Matthias Glintock is an agent, and he comes to visit Max in prison. He says, I need your help, because Kalen Van Deer escaped from prison, and now he's killing everybody who had connections to your job that you did. And Max knows that his crew knew, his old crew
that's
knew.
That's why he's going after the crew.
And that's why he's going after the crew. So, and then there's also...
But why is he in jail if they believe him to be part of that?
What do you mean?
Why is the FBI coming to him?
Because that's because Glintock is by the book, but he has unorthodox methods, and he knows his history, and he knows that he.
Okay.
Yeah. They basically threw him in on like the technicality, like, you know, you were involved, so you're an accessory. You're going in for prison. You're going to prison for life, because the planet he's on, they're very, very strict, and you know, and then so he's trying, what Max is trying to do, he's trying to get the band back together, and his friends are kind of none too happy to see him when he gets out of prison. And then there's also the thing they were going after, they also have to try and corral that as well, because it has great power, basically, that could harm the galaxy, so they need to find it.
The Infinity Gauntlet.
No, it's not the Infinity Gauntlet. So that's it. That's the basic rundown.
Oh, I thought you said that's it. That's the entire
book. That's the entire book.
You know what? I just read it for you.
You just read it.
This was the audiobook.
Yeah.
So long did it take you to finish?
I started it probably, I guess, right after
Right, George Bush the senior was elected.
I finished up Great Big World, basically. Okay. So it was around 2014 or something like that. And most of the time in between was, because I didn't finish it super fast, but I did finish it in a good amount of time. But most of the time has been procrastinating to do a lot of the edits that I had to do.
And seeing a lot of movies.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if anybody is upset that I haven't been writing my reviews, this is why. It's like, I
fucking George R. R. Martin over here. Anything better to do other than write my next book?
I've got, you know, I only have so much time, so, you know.
And when did the idea of this story hit you?
The character, I came up with the character all the way back when I was in college. It's like 20 years ago. I came up with the character. God, I can say that.
Like name and everything.
Well, the name, and then the character evolved. He evolved. Like he was supposed to be at first more like a Boba Fett type guy, more of like a just like a, you know, bounty hunter guy. I guess you could say he was more like Murthane is kind of. But I realized that people would probably want to read about a character that they actually like, so I made him more of like an everyman type guy instead.
Excellent choice.
Thank you. So I made him more of an everyman type guy, and I wanted him to be from Earth, because I wanted him to be able to be like, even though he's been in space,
relatable.
Because even though he's been in space for a long time, he still doesn't get some of the stuff that goes on out there. Like it is different out there for him, even though
It sounds a lot like Guardians of the Galaxy to me.
Well, his daddy was not.
Papa Ultra's way better.
Nicer guy. And also, I mean, it's not Papa Ultra because Ultra is obviously a name he adopted.
But I clearly didn't know his name, so I went with Papa Ultra. I have not read this book yet, Jill.
So that's where I came up with the character. And then what happened was the biggest problem, the hurdle to get started on it, is I was trying to figure out what story I wanted to tell first. Because I had a bunch of different stories. The original story that I was going to start off with first was completely different. And it focused a little bit more on another one of the characters who you meet in chapter 5. And then I was like, if I'm doing Maxim Ultra, it has to be about him, and it's got to be about introducing him.
This is as much of like an introductory story to know Maxim Ultra himself as it is to tell the story.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't just jump right into assuming.
No. I do jump in the beginning to like his situation.
Oh, well, sure. But, of course. Yeah.
But you're not supposed to know anything. I was going to do a short story, which was rapidly turning into a novella, about the...
Doug doesn't write short stories.
No, I don't. About the heist that led into it. And,
While he's in prison.
Right. And I was still playing with that idea, but I was just like, I just wanted to get the book out. I was just later I'll write that. But,
that would be good in between this one and the second one.
Maybe, yeah. There's another story I have in mind that might write in between this for
fine.
Which ties more closely into the second book. It's, you know, Barb, our writing partner, Barbara Davis. Go buy her books as well on Amazon. If you like women's fiction. She told me a long time ago when she was reading it, she's like, you know, she was like, I liked your first book. She goes, but this is the best thing you wrote and you've written. And it feels that way, you know, to me. Like, I really, really loved writing these characters. I'm like, yes, it's nice when people buy the book and you make royalties and whatever, but no one's getting rich off of being an independent author, really. I mean, unless you're churning out material constantly. But for this one, I'm more excited for people to read it because I want people to, like, get into the world and know the characters and stuff like that because I just love writing them all. You know, I'm working on Great Big World 2 now, but I really want to write the next Maxim Ultra.
I mean, I kid about the Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, I know.
But clearly, you know, your passion is sci-fi and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there are elements of Star Wars, Blade Runner.
Yeah. The way I originally described him was he was a mashup of Han Solo and Indiana Jones with a dash of Batman in there.
Yeah.
Because the Matthias character is kind of a Jim Gordon.
And nuts?
No, he's not rich at all.
But nuts?
No. Oh, he could be.
You don't know. Don't give it away.
He could be going nuts. Yep. And Matthias Glintock is kind of like more of like almost like a Jim Gordon type character.
Great name.
Thank you.
It just makes me think of Veep right now. But
okay. And then Mike McClintock. Yeah, Mike McClintock. And then there's another character who I kind of mentioned, Talon Murthane, who is basically he's Max's professional rival, but he's an older guy.
I gotta say, guys, I love these names. Same goes with you, Matt. But for someone like me, it makes it really fucking hard to follow what's going on when I gotta keep up with these weird ass names. Just call him James. Got Dave over here. You got Bob over here.
I got nothing but regular Earth names in my next book.
Yeah, that's what I like to hear.
He's like his professional rival, and he becomes a main antagonist.
So clearly, this has a lot of elements and fusions from your passions in life.
Yeah,
all the way up until today from when you were a kid, right?
Yeah. That's,
yeah. My Little Pony.
Yes.
Yeah.
Trolls.
Right.
Troll Dolls, yeah.
He-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Strawberry
Shortcake. Well, no, She-Ra.
Yeah. Rainbow Bright.
Yeah.
Rainbow Bright.
Care Bears. Classics.
Care Bears.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He has.
Does he have a Care Bear stare?
He does. Aww. He does have a heart on his
like,
chest.
It's like a tattoo.
Right. It goes. Bloo!
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
That does not happen in the book.
But it might.
Yeah. You don't know that.
You don't know that.
I do. But, I wrote it.
Jill knows.
Jill knows.
Suck up.
Should have called in.
Yeah.
I'd like to have a word with this Jill.
So, this is really, you know, not to take away from Great Big World,
right?
But this is really like a passion,
yeah,
project for this you almost. This is like you said, 20 years in the making.
Yeah,
this is a big deal.
Yeah, this is the one that I, you know, Great Big World, you know, that I came up with the story type, the world idea, I came up with when I was living in New York, and then when I came back home, I said I wanted to write something for my nephew, so I was like, make them the main characters, basically. And so then it morphed into a young adult book. But this is like...
It's fair to say this is where your heart lies.
Yeah, for sure. And I think we talked about that, I think. You know, when I finished Great Big World, we all finished our books around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, except for Mac, who was writing a trilogy at the time, but... The rest of us all kind of finished our books at the same time. We were shooting the shit about like what we were going to do next, and they basically, once I gave them like the details of it, they're like, yeah, you should do that, and it became like, you know, I mean, I'm only 42, but it's like at the same time, it's like I'm not getting any younger. It's like I got to write this fucking book. I got to get this out.
So, you know. Obviously, your first book published was Great Big World.
Yes.
Trouble with Dr. Bemo. Because that was your first book, obviously that holds a special place too.
Right.
But, you know, is this just different, or is it definitely you feel more a sense of accomplishment? How do you weight that as an author?
I mean, it has... equal weight of accomplishment.
Okay.
Because nothing beats the first time I did Great Big World and then I hit publish on it and then it was available for people to get. I would have had the same feeling with Maxim Ultra if it hadn't been attached to ladies activewear to start. But I mean, I do think that this is a better book. Personally, I mean, I think it's a better book.
Well, it's written for a different audience.
But it is written for a different audience. And this is what, you know, and I was talking to Josh about it too, like, because last week or so, and he was basically saying, you know, the same thing, that this is more my...
more in tune with who you are.
Right, more in tune with who I am.
As a person and a writer.
Right, and writing for that audience. And again, when I say it's for adults, it's not like there's like... a bunch of explicit sex and shit and stuff like that. I mean,
there's... he wonders why I haven't read it yet.
Yeah.
I mean, there's swearing in it. There's basically language in it that I can't put in Great Big World because that's a kid's book.
Well, kids today.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. They're worse than us.
Yeah.
Fuckers. So, but yeah.
So, process-wise, I guess you probably learned a lot from Great Big World that helped you get this one out quicker when you were ready.
Yeah.
To actually get it out, right?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Because Great Big World, when I came to the writing group, was pretty much done. And then it just became cut this fucker in half, basically, because it was so long.
Yeah.
And I did. I cut that book in half. So this one I knew I had more tools in my arsenal to attack the book and, you know, make it better from the jump, basically. I think I did that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you always love the books that you write and the art that you create, you know. You love all your kids, right?
Right.
But it's, you at least the hope is that you get better as you go along, the more you practice right. your craft. And then,
right.
That's how I feel about masturbation.
Right. Right. You know? Yeah, you develop those calluses. I mean, that takes time. And, you know, it doesn't happen right away. But it doesn't mean the jack-off sessions aren't good in the beginning. Right. It just means, like, the current ones are a lot more fulfilling.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You guys know what I'm talking about.
Look, you learn to use lotion.
Yeah.
All right? You learn to keep a towel by the... By the
you
bit.
Have
you
know, the
you just pick up things. You,
you learn the tools. You know, this is probably not the direction he thought this was going to go.
No,
not the direction I thought it was going to go when I started.
You're welcome, my friend.
Started this line of thinking, but let me just bring it back. It's tough when you're an author to be, you know, to talk about the new books because you know. It's almost like you feel like you have to almost badmouth the old books to be like, no, this one is going to be awesome.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, I don't feel that way. I don't feel like the old ones are you know, bad. It's just you continue to grow as an author, and you can hopefully see the changes as you go along.
Right. Yeah.
Like J.K. Rowling, I'm sorry, I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings, but she was not a great writer in the first book or two. But you could see as she
went along.
The first
two were very similar to each other.
Yeah,
actually.
They were very similar.
Yeah.
But you could see as it went along, like, she developed, you know, her style more. She developed
right.
her talent more. And the books got better.
Yeah. And fatter.
And fatter.
Leon's getting larger. Harry's getting larger.
Yeah. So that's what I'm talking about.
Right. No, yeah, yeah, and that's the thing. I don't want a badmouth Great Big World because I love that book. I love those characters too.
Yeah.
But this is more
To come on that as well.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, this is more in the vein of what I want to do more of.
Now, here's a question, which you can tell me to fuck off if you want.
Okay, great.
What if I tell you to fuck off?
I don't take it as
kind of. Doesn't have the same effect.
No, it doesn't. All right, it doesn't. So, you know, clearly you started, your first two books are serials.
Right.
Are you leaving yourself open for new material, knowing that now you kind of are leaving your audience wanting to pump out the next in a series for these serials?
All right, I'm just going to say fuck off right now.
Right, yeah. I mean, I have plans in place.
I have a plan,
I've got a plan, Arthur.
I just need money.
We just need more money. That's from Red Dead Redemption 2. Oh. No, I have ideas for novels that I will try to kind of like write on the side. Because like when I went to Dragon Con a couple years ago and Kevin J. Anderson was there. He's a famous sci-fi author. He did a lot of Star Wars novels and stuff like that before Disney showed up. And he said, he was like, you always need to have multiple things going.
Now, yeah, I get
so
the idea
like,
of on the side. I'm sure both of you have been writing... And something will strike you. You probably need to make a note of the idea that you have. But do you write two books in parallel? Can you separate to do things like that? Where you have to just laser focus to finish something? Or is it different for everybody?
I think it's different for everybody.
Yeah, okay. I can't do that
for everybody.
You focus on one thing. Get that.
Yeah, I can't write more than one at a time.
Okay.
I have to focus on one, or I'll never get it done.
I got you.
Yeah.
But you said the reason that led me to that is you said, you know, on the side. What does that really mean in terms of...
Because, like, if you're spending the majority of your time on the main thing you're working on, and then you have, like, you know, some time, whatever, you're doing whatever, you know, I'm going to work on this a little bit. Because also the books I'm thinking about are not as, I would say, complex as Great Big World and Maxim Ultra. No, it's not that. It's not. They're not as complex.
Okay. Of course, not world building. It's just
right
because these
it's
a,
these
it's
yeah these would just be
story.
These would just be like, you know, one off novels
yeah.
worth with Max and with Great Big World. I had to build the world and the characters and all that shit. You know,
okay.
And you still have to do that for the single story, but it's not like you're not leaving it open for future stuff.
Right.
Basically, all the people die in a meteor.
Duh.
Thing. So you know, it's melancholia. Right. So. But yeah, I mean, eventually down the road, if I can write more, I eventually want to launch like a serials type thing where I would release an installment every month.
Like Green Mile style.
Yeah, Green Mile.
Yeah. Yeah, but it would be.
I love that, man.
Yeah, that's a good
it would
idea.
Be. Yeah. Yeah, it would be more like almost like a prose comic book where like it would come out
once a month. I find that approach better for younger, newer readers.
Mm-hmm.
They don't feel as daunted by picking up a
400-page
book.
Yeah.
It's much more manageable.
And right.
That you get that comic book sense of every month going back to the next
one. And in this age of e-publishing and stuff like that, it's really much, much easier to do. I mean, Green Mile, you know, when those books came out, they were all, $4 or something like that? At least? Maybe $6 even.
I don't remember that. I mean, I remember showing up at the bookstore every month.
Yeah.
You know,
But then you get the collected one, and it costs the same as, like, one of them. And it's just like, nah. Like, you kind of feel bad. You know, you're like, eh. You know, but it is like comic books, because comic books have the monthly issues, but then they also now they practically every story they collect into a trade paperback, which they sell in Barnes and Noble and shit like that. So,
it's a good route. I think it's a good marketable route to go. Mm-hmm. I don't know why it didn't pick up more in the.
Well, because it costs so much money to publish the books.
Sure.
But now with ebooks,
you quadruple your publishing cost versus
there's no publishing costs.
Yeah.
Cuz that's what I would do if I do it, like I would set it up and have like episodes basically, and then once that arc is finished, then you collect that into like a paperback and say here's the whole thing if you want it, the whole thing. For $600.
Now, do you have an end written for Max? Or is this open ended?
It's open ended. Okay. It's open ended. I have 2, 3, 4. I have loosely plotted out to about 4.
Okay.
And then but I mean the second book is obviously much more concrete. The third book is actually fairly concrete too.
Okay.
I kind of had them all together, and then the fourth one.
Do you think you'll find them? I hate to use the word easier, but I'll use it. Easier or more difficult to write, given that you've already started building this world? Will it be harder to continue expanding, or do you think you'll fall into it a little easier?
It'll be easier because you've gotten a lot of the. It's just like with the Marvel movies.
Everyone knows everybody, and you can just kind of fall into the story. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. In fact, I would say Great Big World 2 is going almost a little bit too easily. next chapter. Okay. Yeah. So I might have to actually go through there and just kind of like fatten it up a little bit. But we'll see. I mean, maybe it'll work.
I get the sense that if I went and looked at Doug's work right now, it would just be like all work and no play. Jack and Doughboy, all work and no play. Jack and Doughboy. They're just coming. It's just flowing out, man.
It's just stick figures.
It's one of the flip books.
Yep. Done.
It's all done.
He's shooting a basketball.
He's running.
Yeah. So.
So you're excited to continue the adventures of Max?
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah. And talking about like what Matt said, you know, building and growing and stuff like that. The story that I have in mind for the second one is more. I think it's a better story than the first one because the first one I had to just make sure I had everybody introduced and stuff like that. But I think the second one is going to be more complex and more, you know, more
now,
personal to
now
him
for
as
the
well.
Serious questions.
Yes.
Do we get to know the etymology of the name Ultra? Because that's really important.
No, not in this one.
He showed up at the airport one day.
And he really wanted to fly.
Yeah.
He bought a pack of Ultra condoms.
It was a Michelob Ultra. Yeah.
So I said, Ultra, huh? He's like, yeah, I like that. Huh. All right. Anything else you'd like to share about the novel?
Not really. I mean, it's I mean, I guess the description I gave of the opening plot is kind of heavy, but it's, I think it's really funny. I mean, there's a lot of comedy in it. Max is a funny character. Glintock is more the straight man.
Is he the sidekick?
He's the FBI guy.
The
lawman,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was thinking
of his prison buddy.
Right, Gelf. Yeah, Gelf. Okay. Yeah, he. Yeah, if you go to my website, I published all these different, just these little character intros for the main cast, basically, or at least the most, the important people that show up, and I basically attached actors to all of them, people who kind of meet the look. In my head,
outside of the look, give attributes like from family members? You kind of input them in, like from people that you meet throughout your life.
Sometimes.
Or is it just kind of a generic amalgamation of what?
I mean, sometimes, yeah. But I mean, I will say that, like, you know, and I wrote this in the character descriptions, like Glintock and Mirthane. The actors that I chose for them, they are basically that they are those characters, like that, like even like some a bit down to like the cadence of like the way they talk and stuff like that. I put that in there.
Okay.
It was Lance Reddick for Matthias Glintock and Brian Cox for Mirthane.
Brian Cox.
Obviously, Brian Cox would not be able to play Mirthane now. He's too old. But I pictured him more like in X-Men 2 days, where he was like, you know, big and, you know, salt and pepper hair and stuff like that. So,
Striker.
But yeah, I mean, and then, you know, the one character I haven't mentioned who I really want people to meet is Alicia. Alicia is Alicia Cabal is Max's ex girlfriend. Yeah. I love you too.
And okay, so, and I think the audience has got a lot to look forward to. And
you paused the podcast just to say that?
No, I said it on the podcast.
Aww.
Get off me. Stop interrupting our podcast.
Okay. yes. So, you know, it's now, it's officially out, everybody.
Yeah.
You got to check it out. We're going to let Doug run through you the ways you can get it again, but basically Amazon
is the way to go. If you go to my website, jdouglasimpson.com, there's actually, I have a button there where you can actually, it'll take you to Amazon to order it. And it has both Kindle version and
prefer
paperback.
One over the other?
I make more money off of the Kindle version,
but the
paperback version is, because what Kindle does is like they basically,
you know what you could do? Buy one of each like me, Jill.
She did.
Damn you, Jill. She beats us to everything.
if the reason why I say the paperback is because the Kindle basically strips all personality out of the fonts you want, so they just make it like basic bitch.
Sure.
And so the paperback is the presentation I wanted to give the reader of what I want it to look like. But if you go to Kindle and you do buy both, the paperback is $16, and if you just buy the Kindle by itself, it's $10. But if you buy them both, the Kindle book drops down to $2 because it's a special program they have called Matchbook.
That did not work for me.
It didn't?
Because I pre-ordered the one and then...
You should contact them because that's probably because they fucked it up. So if you should contact Amazon and say, hey, man, this is bullshit.
Where's my lady's t-shirt?
You get your money, sir.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. The weirdest thing about...
Dinner's on Doug. Yeah.
I didn't get that check yet. Doug's
gonna collect his tens of dollars.
It's a little more than that right now.
All right.
But yeah, I'm gonna be going to.
Let's talk a little. Talk about promotion.
Yeah, right. I got a bunch of cards and stuff like that. So I'm probably going to Dragon Con this year. I haven't officially totally decided yet, but I think I am. And I'll probably just hand shit out down there, just like, here you go, here you go, here you go. I'm going to be in Pittsburgh at the Replay FX convention, which is an arcade game convention. And my buddy Jack, who runs Bantha T-Bar, he has... Yeah, he's no affiliation. No affiliation. Oh, Star Wars. Oh, no affiliation. Oh. Star Wars. He has. He's getting a table so they can sell merch at the table because they can't. They can't sell the tea there because then it horns out on the concessions. It's so stupid. But so they said, all right, we'll make merch and we'll sell merch there.
Are you going to get any tables at any cons like the Rally Con in the fall or the SuperCon coming up here?
It's too late for SuperCon. Okay. To be honest, I mean, getting tables. It's expensive as shit.
Sure.
I mean, it's really expensive. We were talking about that book fair, or the yeah. the book convention or whatever in Raleigh, and it was like
$200.
Yeah, it was like $250 to get a table. I'm sure I'm gonna try and get in with the when Holly Springs does their thing again. I'm gonna try and get in with that. That was actually pretty successful for me with Great Big World. I sold about 5 copies, which is not bad considering they put me in that back room basically. But yeah, so I'm just gonna be, you know, just look for it on the website, and it's really good. It's really fun, it's really good, and apparently you can finish it in 3 days. Thanks, Jill. Which is good, because that means it hooks people in. Mitch said the same thing when he read it.
Yeah,
he said he just kind of, he's like, I just got sucked in and blew through it, which is good. So,
well, congratulations,
man. Thanks, man. Thank you.
Look forward to
cracking it open.
I meant to bring it, not to
drawing
in
it,
but drawing in it. Yeah, drawing the little pictures of turds and things.
You can bring it Thursday,
dick butt. I will, and I will definitely be reading it.
Thanks, man.
It's been a long week.
Yeah. I understand.
Everybody, buy the fucking hell out of the book.
Thanks, man. Thanks, guys. And that'll do it. For this episode of the Hodgepodge Podcast.
Special episode.
I'd like to thank Matt for joining
nothing.
Us.
Nothing. As usual.
For having insight into the past of
the
Max
non-contributor.
Walter. Yeah. Just an empty spot.
And Dirty A for putting up with me.
And oh, you're welcome.
And next episode will 100% be Avengers Endgame. Or maybe not. Maybe we'll talk about... Is there like another movie coming out that's like counter-programming? I don't think so.
No.
Like some shitty movie coming out? No. You know what I can't wait for? Dennis Quaid in Intruder.
The Intruder.
Yeah! That movie's going to be terrible.
He's got this big-ass smile.
I know! He's like... And we'll see you next time, folks.